Upper Vino was in the foreign thing.
No, the first time I had like the
change of?
I don't know.
Okay, let's try and get clarity on that. Okay, what's the deal of Love and Arami? What's the concept over here of Love and Arami?
That was in Golas Tarim, right? When Yaakov
left
to go to the...
Okay, but so it wasn't. The Golas started really from Bristol of Sorim. So what's Love and Arami over here? Another question, in order to answer this, is it says in Aseret HaDibros, which is the most important concept of probably the whole 613 mitzvahs is encapsulated in the Aseret HaDibros. It says, "Anoich Hashem lekecho asher hotzeisicho me'eretz Mitzrayim." I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu who took you out of Mitzrayim. Why does it not say, "Anoich Hashem lekecho asher borish mayim va'aretz," who created heaven and earth? Why asher hotzeisicho me'eretz Mitzrayim, which seems to be a part of history of Jewish history, Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Much more important, I'm a Kadosh Baruch Hu who created heaven and earth. What's the concept over there? So I want to step back a bit. I want to ask one more question. I think that's going to answer exactly what it's all about. We have to understand that Eretz Yisrael is a country that does not live by the rules of any other society. Does not live by the rules of any other
rationale
which makes perfect sense to any other continent, any other country in the world. It does not work for Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereish Shana Ad Achri Shana. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his eye on Eretz Yisrael. Everything in Eretz Yisrael is done directly through a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not done through Malachim. There's no Sorim. In England there's a Sa in Shemayim called the English Sa. Yeah, he probably looks like Churchill, right? And you got a Sa in South Africa, he probably looks a little bit different. And you get a Sar all over the world. And but the Sa of Israel does not exist. The Sa is a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Even
Kodesh
the
Baruch
Hu.
Yes, yes. There is no such thing as state of Israel in Eretz Yisrael. In Shemayim, it's Eretz Yisrael's Eretz Yisrael. The Sa means the minister, which means Kodesh Baruch Hu works through him, as it were, to govern that country with whatever it is. Hakodesh Baruch Hu works directly with Eretz Yisrael.
So you could pray almost.
No. Chas v'shalom.
No,
I'm not going into that. That's beyond the scope.
When
Israel has a king.
I'll have to talk about it, but not now. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
What's the concept over here of Eretz Yisrael being what's going on? So now let's understand this for a moment. I listened to the news today and I heard that the Palestinians said that Israel is going to negotiate for the release of the soldiers who have been kidnapped. And they're talking soldiers that have been kidnapped, and they're talking about the three soldiers that have been kidnapped, one by the Hamas and two by the Nasrallah, by the Hezbollah, and they're talking about negotiating and giving return 800 soldiers for one, whatever it was. That's what they're talking about. Now let's understand the idea behind that, and I think that's mamish, it's that what happens in the world is mamish negair to what's going on now. What was the concept, what's the idea of Israel going to war against Lebanon 2 months ago? They came in there with the guns blazing, with tanks, with planes. They've got the most sophisticated army in the Middle East. And until now, Israel was feared, and they said within 48 hours they had the soldiers back, with our intelligence, with our army. 48 hours they had the soldiers back. Since then, the Israeli army has withdrawn almost fully. I mean, they still have a kind of a blockade over their boats, but Israel has withdrawn. All we've gained is a huge gap, a huge hole in our budget, cost billions and billions of dollars. The war cost billions of dollars. The damage it did to Israel is billions of dollars. And what have you gained? The soldiers are still there. Nothing. What have you gained? So ideas like this. That you have to understand that there's a certain concept in the world that is primarily amongst scientists called Koich Vaitzim Yodi. Koich Vaitzim Yodi means the biggest atheists are the scientists. Why is that? Because scientists believe that they are in control over the world. They have a drug, they have a medicine that is going to heal cancer, it's going to heal Parkinson's, that can take people to the moon. They're in control of the world. And therefore, if there's a God, that comes into direct conflict with their shlita, with their power over what's going on. And therefore, that's why the scientists, who ultimately, usually, the wisest and cleverest people, are the biggest kofrim, the biggest atheists, because that is a conflict between them and Hashem. Eretz Yisrael started off with an idea that Kulichi Va'itzim Yodi, all the way through every war, whether it's 48, whether it's 67, 73, Eretz Yisrael believed that they have a better army and a better intelligence and they're better soldiers, and that's why they won the war. And they had the concept of Kulichi Va'itzim Yodi, maybe not immediately, but after the war. The books written of how clever Israel were to destroy them. There's a Kulichi Va'itzim Yodi, it's a certain arrogance that Israel has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a phenomenon in the world called terrorism, where you can have the strongest army with the only nuclear power in the Middle East, that's not going to help you bechlal against a Meshuggah who wants to blow himself up on a bus. Not going to help you. You can even, so you know what, so you put fences around, fine, so you send over a rocket. Now what are you going to do? Pull the rocket all the way up to space? What are you going to do? How are you going to fight it? The idea is that Klal Yisrael have to be aware, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making us finally aware. The last war in Israel was the Iraq war. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hashem Yilochim Lochem Atim Tachrishon, you keep quiet, you stay in little sealed rooms and I'll fight the war for you. Hashem Ishmol Chomer, Hashem Yilochim Lochem Atim Tachrishon was Parshas B'Shalach when the war started. Hashem said, I'll deal with the war. Israel, stay out of it. This war was a war that Israel felt, well, they could really do something. They've done absolutely nothing. This war has shown us basically that we do not have Koyach besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And hopefully, that understanding will give Klal Yisrael the realization of how important Ribbono Shel Olam is in our lives. Bikurim is a far more primitive way of Kulichi Va'itzim Yodi. A person plants seeds. A person takes a field. He plows a field. He plants seeds. It rains. It rains. Stuff grows. I cut it down. I sell it. I make a lot of money. I'm rich. Kulichi Va'itzim Yodi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the idea of Bikurim is to say Asher Nosan Li Hashem. The Pasuk says, Hashem gave me the land. Hashem gave me. Which means the concept of Bikurim is a concept of appreciating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the world, of the world's events. And therefore, the idea is Poshut to have the realization that everything we do affects the world's events vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Bikurim is a catalyst for us to understand that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control of the world. I'm not in control of Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's Satali Hashem. Hashem's given it to me. How does that manifest itself? To say Kodesh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth, Hashem created it once. But the fact Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim shows that Kodesh Baruch Hu is in control of daily events. Bikurim is a realization that Kodesh Baruch Hu has a shaychus, has a connection with us on a daily event. What we do right or what we do wrong, the Bechira aspect of the whole world is an understanding and appreciation that Kodesh Baruch Hu runs everything. And that's the concept of I am nothing, Kodesh Baruch Hu is everything. And that is why the world was created for the sake of Bikurim. Of realization that I am nothing, everything is in Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands, and therefore what I do and what I don't do is mashpia. It sends a message, triggers off a process of Schar V'Einesh, and therefore Schar V'Einesh is what the world is all about, and that's why I am in this world where I am today. And therefore, that's your understanding of Bikurim, or Rashi's Mishul Torah Nikra Rashi. Now, that's all very nice to understand this on a conceptual level. But the Baal HaMusar don't work things on a conceptual level and only work through Hashgacha. We try and get it down on a practical level. And therefore, what does it mean to us? How does Bikurim relate to us? What do we do? Well, what are we supposed to do with the mitzvah of Bikurim? So, the idea over here is that appreciation of a Kursa Toiv, the appreciation of what appreciation is. There is a Yishalmi, the Yishalmi says in Kalayim, how do I know if a tree is growing above the ground? How do I know if this bush that's growing above the ground is being manic, is sucking from its nutrients from the tree that's underneath the ground? How do I know that? Which means you have roots underneath the ground. How do I know if the bush above the ground is sucking its nutrients from the roots underneath the ground or not. Says in Yerushalmi, from the roots of the tree, of the other tree. You have a tree underneath the ground, and you have a bush above the ground. How do you know if the bush is being taken from the nutrients of the tree underneath it or not? Says in Yerushalmi, have a look.
Is the tree underneath the ground?
The roots underneath the ground, and you have a bush above the ground. How do I know if the bush is taking the nutrients from the tree's roots, or it's being independent of the roots? It's just taking nutrients from the ground underneath itself. You have a bush above the ground.
And
the bush is over here.
Yeah.
And the tree has roots that goes underneath.
Oh,
how do I know if the roots of this bush are going into the roots of the tree? The bush's roots
are going into the roots of the bush's tree.
Into the roots of the tree and taken from the tree or not? Says you show me very simple. If the bush faces away from the tree, then it's taken from the roots of the tree. If it's facing towards the tree, you can be quite sure it's not taken from the roots of the tree. That's what Yerushalmi says. In other words, there is built in the teva of the world, within the nature of the world, somebody who gives you something, it's within a nature, not even within a human nature, it's within even plant nature, that somebody that is supplying, that is feeding you, you cannot look at them. There's a certain embarrassment, there's a certain element of wish to have nothing to do with that person wants to give you things. That is built within the nature of the world. And that's why it's extremely difficult to be makir toiv. It's extremely difficult to have proper karas toiv. And this parasha is appreciation of understanding what karas toiv is all about. And says that the Chai Odom says that Chai Odom is not a sefer based on Musa. It's a halacha sefer. He says in Hilchos Kibud Av Ha'Em, he says if a person will say to you, why do I have to respect my parents? You know, nobody asked them to give birth to me. Yistoim Pios, the mouth of such a person should be eternally sealed. Because if he says such a thing about his parents, eventually he'll say the same thing about Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's he'll become an apikiris. And therefore, Bikurim is a parasha dealing with appreciation. And unless we work out the how to appreciate something properly, we can become an apikiris.
Why can't, what's the text there? Why can't he say that?
We will come to say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore that's why a person.
What's wrong with that?
Why do I have to, my, you know, Hashem, what do you do it for? I mean, I'm not to have to thank you. Who asked to give birth to me?
What's the
terror? Okay, that's again another discussion. But you have to have a Kodesh Baruch Hu, because Kodesh Baruch Hu put us in this world for our good, not for His good. And therefore, if we don't appreciate what Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us, we've been not only foolish, we've been after Kodesh. Okay, well. So this is a. The Kurim is the understanding of appreciation. Now before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is in 2.5 weeks' time. What is important to focus upon is that when you come to Rosh Hashanah, we have the preconceived idea that everything that we have now is ours, and we've just got to make sure that Rosh Hashanah we keep what we have. Sort of make sure that next year the status quo. There's nothing further from the truth. Rosh Hashanah, everything starts fresh again. Everything. If what you had this year was health and money and siyatishmanu learning and whatever else HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, is absolutely no guarantee that's going to continue in the next year. Nothing. Nothing. You're starting off with absolutely nothing again in Rosh Hashanah. Everything is going to be reprogrammed that you should start off, that you should start with all good things again. There's no status quo.
You
don't carry on for what you had this year. It may look like you're carrying on because I have the same family. That's only because the Kodesh Baruch Hu decided with the tshuva you did, or the mitzvahs, or averus, or schusim, whatever it may be, that you can. They will give you this family they gave you last year, the same status that you gave you last year. But you do not have what you had last year. Everything is new, and therefore, again, for Rosh Hashanah, you've got to start appreciating what we have. And start davening and start doing tshuva in order that should continue in the future. Because nothing should be taken for granted. And therefore the parasha of Bikurim is for Rosh Hashanah. Parasha Bikurim is what the world's all about. The parasha Bikurim is realizing and appreciating what Kodesh Baruch Hu is, realizing who we are and our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Being grateful to Him. Doing mitzvahs because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us opportunity to do mitzvahs. And so therefore Bikurim is very, very important. Now, Lemaisa, how do you deal with Bikurim?
What about
So let's go to the parasha over here. and see how we're supposed to, from the parasha, express appreciation. So Perek Chavov, Pasuk Hey. Now again, it's my collection of thoughts, and I think it's MS. But if you don't, you're more than happy to. I'd be more than happy to hear whether if you think it's something that could be changed here. I'd be happy to hear it. Perek Chavov Pasuk Hey. Va'an Misa va'amarto, and you shall answer, and you shall say, who are you answering here? You're answering Yitzhar. You're combating Yitzhar. But on Maritain you shall say, says Rashi, Loshen Haramas Kol, but on Nisa is a Loshen Haramas Kol, picking up your voice. Lesson number one. In appreciation, it doesn't help to think it. It's a start. It doesn't help to think it. You've got to express it. Which means, there's a famous fiddle on the roof, do you love me? Of course I love you. No, but you've got to express. You've got to express appreciation. When you come home, when a husband comes home and he sees that the house is clean and tidy, and he thinks to himself, wow, it's so nice and clean. Don't think it. Express it. Loshen Haron Asko. Express yourself. Express yourself. Whether it doesn't have to be a husband coming home, whether it's a roommate who tied up his part of the room, whether somebody kept you lunch. Don't just have it. The Nisal Amarta is Loshen of Haromas Kol. You've got to actually express it. You've got to actually verbalize it.
But Rav, once you verbalize it, then it doesn't happen again.
It'll happen again and again and again.
No, if someone does a chesed for you,
yeah,
and you say thank you very much, they feel, complete, now I don't have to ever do it again.
No.
Like on the contrary. If a person taken for granted, they will do it for you again.
If someone says thank you, if someone compliments you on how well you're doing and everything, and you don't feel like, oh yes, I'm going to try. They feel like, oh, there's that one. Mm-hmm. But that's what happens.
A person strives in appreciation. A person strives when he's noticed and appreciated. That's when a person strives. Yeah, that is the concept of Ivanisa Vomato. Secondly, the pasuk says, Arami Oved Ovi. So do you remember what it says in Chumash and Fukumish? Arami Oved Ovi. So the pasuk says Arami Oved Ovi. Lavan Arami was Oved Ovi. What does it say in the Haggadah? Arami Oved Say Unamad. Ma Bikesh Lavan Harami Lansis Yaakov Avinu. Say Unamad. That's the pasuk. That's what it says in the Haggadah. Say Unamad. Now what's Say Ulmad? Second lesson of appreciation. Say Ulmad. Say Ulmad means focus what the person's done for you. Don't just come along and say, oh, wow, it looks great. The house looks great. Say Ulmad. Go and learn what it meant to have a meal ready on time when he came home. Say Ulmad. Realize, obviously, your wife Knainahara has a child or two, right? She may have a job, she may not, whatever, it's irrelevant. But the maisa, your food when you come home is in the oven, which means she's managed to juggle the whole day to make sure the children are fed, clothed, clean, been to the makolet, bought food, decided what to cook, cooked it, made it tasty, and she'll be ready on time for when you come home. Let's say all that. Not just say, roll inside, pretty good, tastes very good. No! If you start, say all that, you start working into what a person's done for you. A parent, a child, right, Reuben? A child never appreciates a parent till their parent themselves. Never. Up at nights and teething, and then eventually, when they start really being manageable and helpful around the house, they become teenagers. So and that's when they say, that's why I understand why some mammals eat their young. when you get to teenager state. Yeah? It's posture. It's what do parents get from this? And eventually, when they start getting a little bit older and convention, then they get married and they leave the house and they don't want you and they start over again. Right? And therefore, they don't want to get it all back. Whatever they do, they get back. But this is a concept. This is a concept of sale mad means a concept to appreciate a parent. You got to phone up your parents and say to them, wow, I really appreciate what you did for me. Just having a child now with teething, thank you very much for being up those nights and looking after me while I was teething. Let's say a month, go and think about what the person's doing. Go! Step out of your safe. Say, go, leave yourself, leave your selfish, self-centered self, and love out. Go and learn. Go and learn what people are doing for you. That's the second lesson. Say all the mud. Third of all, it says, "Es amaleinu ve'es lachatzeinu." It says, "Es amaleinu ve'es lachatzeinu." This is in pasuk. Yeah, this is pasuk zayin. 1 second. V'nisak Hashem. Vayar es onyenu, es amaleinu ve'es lachatzeinu. Can anyone tell me the difference between onyenu, amaleinu, ve'es lachatzeinu?
Three stages, what they went through in Egypt. The different stages of enslavement.
Yeah. The different plotting. Amaleinu, onyenu, amaleinu is lachatzeinu. Onyenu means affliction. Amaleinu is our work, our toil. Lachatz is a pressure. Okay, what's the difference between toil and pressure? Maybe one's with, maybe one's being forced to do something. When it's just one's hard work. Why do I have to express that? So, reminds me of a Mr. Bean movie, who Mr. Bean went to. He was an art museum. Sent him to Los Angeles to become to see a painting exhibition. Right? Have you seen the one?
Yes.
Anyway, he goes there, and he's got to give a speech about the something's mother. The Whistler's Mother. So he has there, it's a beautiful painting, and he gives it the whole thing, and blows his nose, a whole thing, eventually sorts it out. He's got to give a speech, and he stands up and he says, well, the first thing you notice about this painting is that it's rather large, which is good, because if it would be macroscopic, you'd be hardly able to see it there, will you? Right? So everyone... Yeah, very thought provoking, right? Then he says something, and he says, and also, it's got to do with a family values, you know. And he learned to be a family value with a turkey on his head and whatever it was. But that was a family values, which means, in order to be appreciative of a piece of art, yeah, one's got to learn from Mr. Bean. Sometimes the musar behind, you've got to be a connoisseur. You've got to be able to identify. Identify, be able to be clever enough to see the difference in amaleinu lachatzeinu and onyenu lamaleinu lachatzeinu. You've got to be a connoisseur of appreciation. You've got to appreciate not only things are done for you, but how they were done for you. What effort the person had that he did it for you. That's amaleinu, that's the three things you've got to learn from this parasha. Now, what's Lavan Arami got to do with it? Lavan Arami was a classic kafui tov. Lavan Arami was... Yaakovina came to Lavan Arami. Lavan Arami had nothing. He had nothing. Yaakovina left him. He was a very, very wealthy man. What does Lavan Arami say? Es bonai, all the children are my children. And all my animals, everything's mine. Lavan Arami was a classic kafui tov. Lavan Arami was a classic example of a person who did not go through this parasha. And therefore we, coming out of Lavan Arami, have been influenced by Lavan Arami, and they went down to Mitzrayim. We have got to be aware that we've been influenced by society, we've been influenced by a world that has no appreciation to other people. Either they say it never happened, I don't believe you're doing me a favour, even if you are doing me a favour, you have an agenda. But Lavan Arami has to be aware that Arami over Dovi, that Arami is all around us, is Lavan Arami, who have people, the people around society tell us not to appreciate things. And when they do appreciate things, how do they appreciate it with? With money. With money. The best way to appreciate something today is with money.
Money.
What's the idea behind that? So there's a very, very interesting parasha now. The parasha says, don't mind. The parasha says,
you're saying that you appreciate money, or you show your appreciation
with a person
money?
Shows appreciation with money today.
I'll buy it.
And that is very, very sad. There's one very, very nice vault over here which connects with that. The pasuk says, "V'lakachtam reishko pri adoma," you put it into a tenner, you put it in a tenner. What's a tenner? Into a basket. It says in Rambam Bava Kama that if a wealthy man brings a basket to Yerushalayim, what you do is you take the basket, take the fruit out, and you empty it and give it back to the wealthy man. But if an oni brings a basket, you take the basket in its entirety and you don't give it back to him. And there the Gemara says a very well known fact, that that poverty goes after a poor person. That a rich person gets his basket back. The poor person, the rich get rich, and the poor get poor. And now you just got a basket and take that away from him as well. So the poor person gets poor, and the rich person gets richer. But the question is, why does the oni not get his basket back, and the rich person does? Another answer like this: that when a rich person brings his basket, what basket does he bring it into?
Nice.
A beautiful basket. He goes to the shop
gold.
And he says, "Give me an 18-karat gold star, a diamond-crusted basket. I'm going to give it to a thing." Any thought goes into it?
No.
Absolutely not. He orders it over the catalogue. He goes to tenor.com. He gets a beautiful basket, and he gives a basket over to the coin. You know, the coin says to him,
"I don't need.
Thank you very much. Here, take it back." This oni, how does this oni make a basket?
The
own
straw.
Never. He takes a straw. And he decorates it with a bit of few flowers around it. And he puts maybe, and he weaves a little bit. And he puts a fruit over here to make it look nice. The coin says, "You know what? That's exactly what I want. Thank you very much. I want to keep that for myself." Today, appreciation is, you go to the shops, you get ready-made shlachmanas, and you write a little note and you give the shlachmanas to the thing. That is not, Rabbi Yisai, that is not the concept of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for appreciation. Appreciation is an expression when a person actually writes a letter. I'm not giving any hint here. But I've received presents before. I've received presents.
Right?
No, Rafaim, actually. I'm not saying don't send presents. Other Abba, you know. But sometimes a bocher has left the yeshiva. Sometimes they don't even say thank you b'chlal. They just leave yeshiva, and you know, obviously they've been paying full fees all the time, and it's my panosa. So obviously, you know, there's no reason to say thank you. I don't put myself out for them. It's not those boys who usually don't say thank you. They just disappear. I'm talking even those people who do have the menschlichkeit to say thank you. Very nice. But the few extra words, you know, one boy said to me last month, "I appreciate very much," and he explained why he appreciated it. "I appreciate that you give me shurim and halacha now has become practice, something I'm not scared about." Which is a few words. But those words meant a lot more to me than somebody giving me, you know, a David Sipper Parker pen. It's the idea of a person's own thought has gone into the appreciation. Just buying something nice and paying yourself off with money, here, off you go, that's not appreciation. The coin says, "Here, take it back." And therefore the concept over here is that is appreciation has to be done in the form of a letter, writing a letter to somebody, expressing yourself nicely why you appreciate it means so much to people. Don't buy yourself cheap. Don't get the cheap easy way out of just buying them something, buying them, giving it to them. That's not the idea. Within the other kasha as well, why is it that a oni does not get his basket back and an osher does? So two other perushim. Another pirush is very, very beautiful pshat. The pirush is like this: have you ever got shlachmanas and you really start calculating how much must be in that basket? Make a mental calculation. Yeah, a nice big shlachmanas, mental calculation. Then you forget there's a concept called styrofoam or whatever, padding. You forget there's such a concept. You open it up, and after all the big basket with all the ribbons and the everything else and all the everything and the
decorations,
you come out and it's, you know, it's a wine, a packet of wafers, and a couple of packets of bamba. Mm. And there's a big basket.
Wafer.
Yeah?
Bamba.
This oni and the osher, how do they come to the base of Mikdosh? The osher has a huge selection of fruit from all the different fields. Bikurim ain't lahem shir. There's no shir to Bikurim. He can give abundance of Bikurim. So he comes with an overladen basket full of fruits.
So the client says, oh, thank you very much, empties out the fruit and gives it back to him. The poor Oni, what's he got to show? He's got Nebuch a few trees, and the fruit isn't that good. And how much can he give already? But he brings in a nice basket to stop himself from being embarrassed and not being able to compete with the Oshu. Now, if the Kohen were to empty out the basket, you'll see there's hardly anything in the basket. There's a few Nebuchadnezzar fruit. Well, there's not very much there. He'll be embarrassed. So the Kohen takes a whole basket and takes it back home, and in the privacy of his own home, that is where he starts unloading the basket, that the Oni should not be embarrassed. That's how careful Kodesh Baruch Hu is, not to make chas v'shalom anybody embarrassed. The same thing happens with the oiler of an Oni. An Oni, he brings a korban oiler, it's a bird. And what do? The Torah says, you should take the bird and burn it with all the feathers. Burn it with all the feathers. Now, feathers have a terrible smell. You singe hair, you singe feathers, a terrible smell. Why does Kodesh Baruch Hu want the bird with the feathers? Because you have a nice bird, and you start plucking it off and taking all the feathers, you see this little tiny little thing. Yeah, what's left of a bird after all his feathers are plucked off? Then Hashem says, you know what? I prefer to have a bird that smells terrible. And all the smell goes into, but I don't embarrass another person. That's what I prefer korban to be. And that's a concept over here of why you should appreciate another person's weaknesses and not chas v'shalom uncover them. The third answer is, an Oni comes with anova. He comes, looks around, and he's got his basket. And he looks around and he sees all the glittering, the gold, the silver, the crystal, all the beautiful baskets. And he's got this straw basket. And he looks and he sees the Oni. It's a hierarchy. It's a fashion show of with baskets. You know, the same thing happens with with a sregim on Sukkos. Yeah, you got a beautiful mitzvah of lekach nechem pri etz hodah. What does a sotan do? Makes you buy a very, very expensive esrog. And the first day of Sukkot, you start looking around. Ugh, look at my esrog. Yeah, I've got the nicest esrog here. Yeah, I'm the guy who can really afford it. This guy.
Call that an esrog.
What's that?
You call that an esrog?
It's a lemon. Right? And therefore, Hashem said with the Oshi, come with Gaiva, take it back, I don't want it. Take back your thing. A person comes in Arnova, Hashem, you know, what can I do? I'm trying to do the best I can. Here's my basket. I tried to make it look nice with a few flowers. Hashem says, oh, that's what I want. Give me your basket. That's what I want to keep. That's what I want to keep for myself. That's again a concept here of Osho and Oni. Let's finish off with one short vote from Moshe. Moshe Feinstein says that we have over here. It's late. We'll stop. Karen, listen next year.
Come on.
Okay, very quickly. Very quickly. It says in Al Har Gruz and Har Evil, isn't this six parasha? Har Gruz and Har Evil is in the Haifa. Where is this? In Perich of Zion, Posuk Beis Gimel Dalet, it talks about Hagriz and Ha'evil. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu put the people in Hagriz and Ha'evil, split up Klal Yisrael, and he did all the orals, and he had all the boruch. So Gemara talks about it in Sait, exactly what happened, and he said Baruch a person does this and this and this, and he said Amen. And he faced towards the other one, says, oh, this and this and this, and it said, Amen. Okay? Har Evil was a place where all the klalos took place. Har Evil was a place where all the klalos took place. And today, as a Yom HaZeh, Har Evil is completely bare. It has nothing growing on it. It's a completely bare mountain, and Har Gerizim, where the brachos were, is beautiful. Just next to it, it's a beautiful mountain. There's a lot of flowers and trees and bushes. It's beautiful. You see today, it's an amazing thing. Where the Kodesh Baruch Hu make them is Beach. He said the Kodesh Baruch Hu put them is Beach, and they made Shlomim on Har Evil. Har Evil was on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was placed on the mountain where there was a Klavus. The question is, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu associate and put the Mizbeach on a mountain where all the Klavus took place? Why not on a mountain where the Brachos took place? That's what Ramesh asked. A very simple kasha, and he explains that Bracha sometimes has with it a klala. If a person got everything they wanted, before they even ask for it, then his connection he has with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is very, very weak. If a person knows they still need help from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they still need to work on themselves, and they still need to, then that is the greatest bracha sometimes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted how Grizim to be the epitome of bracha, wanted the bracha to stay there, wanted that to be a mountain that represents bracha. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain with something it didn't have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain of bracha with something it doesn't have, because when something doesn't have everything, that is when the bracha is really mekuyim. He's not spoiled, he's not arrogant. The bracha is really mekuyim in a situation where a person doesn't have everything. When a person has everything, he becomes a balgaiva, he becomes arrogant, and therefore Kodesh Baruch is showing us an important lesson, that to be perfect is when a person doesn't have everything. When a person has everything, unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, a person can lose it all by being arrogant and haughty. Okay.
Right. 6:40.